This past Thursday, we celebrated the feast of a very great saint and doctor of the church, St. Francis de Sales. And since he is such an important saint, particularly for modern times, I thought I would talk about his life today and the great legacy that he has left to the church. He was born in 1567 in Savoy, northern Italy, to noble parents. His mother was particularly pious, and she took care to raise him with great piety and to shield him from every occasion of sin. He was sent to the best schools to study philosophy and literature, and he received excellent grades. He was a brilliant student. While he was at school, he once suffered a very severe temptation against the virtue of hope. He was tortured by the thought that he would lose his soul, and this thought became worse and worse until he could no longer eat or sleep. For a whole month, he was racked with agony. He loved God more than anything in the world, and now he thought that he would be separated from him and cursed him for all eternity in hell. But finally, he went into a church, and he knelt down in front of a statue of the Blessed Virgin, and he prayed and said, "O Lord, if I am never to see you in heaven, then at least grant that I may never curse your holy name. If I may not love thee in the other world, because no one praises you in hell, then let me at least love you as much as I can during every minute of my brief existence here on earth." At that very moment, he was delivered from the temptation, and he was filled with great peace. He was ordained a priest when he finished his studies, and he was appointed provost of the Cathedral of Geneva in Switzerland. He preached sermons, heard confessions, and took care of the poor. He had great success in bringing people back to the practice of virtue. But before long, he was given another assignment that was much more difficult. There was a town called Chablais on the south side of the Lake of Geneva that had been invaded by Protestants. And they had either driven out the Catholics or had corrupted their faith so that they became Protestants too. Now the Lord over this area was Catholic, and he asked the Bishop of Geneva to send a missionary to preach to the people in this town to bring them back to the Catholic faith. So the bishop called together his priests and told them about this situation, and he asked if anyone wanted to volunteer. St. Francis was the only one out of all of them who volunteered to go. So he set out on foot to his new parish and began working to restore the faith. He lived at a Catholic fortress about 6 or 7 miles away, where he would spend the night, and each day he would walk to the city to talk to people about the faith. His commute was very dangerous. A few times he was attacked by Protestants who tried to kill him, but he was saved by a miracle each time, and his attackers converted and lived holy lives afterwards. Another time he was chased up a tree by some wolves, and he had to stay there until he was rescued by some peasants. But he almost died from cold sitting up in that tree for so long. But none of this could dampen his zeal for the souls of this town. Anyone other than St. Francis would have become discouraged by this situation, because there were only 20 Catholics left in the whole town, and these were very intimidated by the Protestants. But St. Francis worked with them gradually, and he met with them privately in their homes to encourage them, to encourage these few remaining Catholics. And then he wrote a series of short pamphlets defending the faith and refuting the errors of Calvinism. And he would slide these little pamphlets under the doors of the people of the town in the night. And these pamphlets were so effective that they were collected and published in a book called The Catholic Controversy, which is still in print to this very day. So he gradually began to make progress in converting these people, until eventually he was able to move into the town and live there and preach publicly in the squares and marketplaces and hold public disputes with Protestant ministers. But there were still no Catholic churches in this town where he could say Mass. So every day he would go across the river to the next town over, which was Catholic, to celebrate Mass at a Catholic church there. One very cold winter, the bridge over the river on the way to the other town was destroyed by a flood. And as a temporary measure, the people put a log across the river where the bridge had been. This log was very dangerous to cross, not only because it didn't have a guardrail, and it probably wasn't flat on top either, but also because the rain and water from the river would freeze on it and make it slippery with ice. But this didn't stop St. Francis de Sales from saying Mass. He understood the infinite value of the Mass in God's eyes, and he knew how much his apostolate and the salvation of souls depended on his saying Mass every day. So he would cross that log every morning to say Mass, and after saying Mass, he would risk his life again to cross over it, to go back to his people in the town and commence his daily work. He did this every day for the entire winter until the bridge could be repaired. This reminds us of our own times when people have to travel great distances to come to Mass, sometimes in bad weather and with great expense. But what we do once a week is very small in comparison with what he would do every single day to be able to say Mass every day. So St. Francis de Sales continued to work in this city for the salvation of souls, and eventually he was made bishop of the Diocese of Geneva. He also founded a convent of nuns named after the mystery of the Visitation of Our Lady, called the Order of the Visitation. Only a short while after his death, this order produced one of the greatest saints of modern times, the great Saint Margaret Mary, from whom we receive the devotion to the Sacred Heart. But when Saint Francis became old and he was not able to work in the apostolate the way he used to, he began to write to people to encourage them in the spiritual life. He would write many letters to give people spiritual direction. His correspondence with one pious woman in particular has become a great classic of the spiritual life and has been published under the title of The Introduction to the Devout Life, which is still available today. Probably many of you have read this amazing book, but if not, I encourage you very much to read it because it gives very good and practical advice to people living in the world on how to live a pious life. So finally, St. Francis de Sales was worn out with his labors for God, and when he was only 56 years old, he became sick and died, and he was canonized in 1665 and made a doctor of the church by Pius IX in 1877. St. Francis de Sales was a very meek soul, and he exemplified very well the mercy of God towards sinners. This was how he was able to convert so many people in the town where he worked, and to bring lapsed Catholics back to the faith, Catholics who had given up the practice of virtue. He would greet them with fatherly affection and say to them, "Come, my dear children, let me put my arms around you. God and I will help you. All I ask is that you not despair. I will take on myself the rest of the burden." And once he even got up into the pulpit and began his sermon with the words, "Oh, my dear sinners." It was this great meekness and kindness that enabled him to convert so many heretics. In his lifetime, he alone converted 72,000 Protestants. There was a famous cardinal in his day who was a great controversialist, and he said, "I can refute the Calvinists, but if you want to convert them, you have to take them to the Bishop of Geneva." But he was not born a meek man. He had great difficulties with his temper when he was young, but he worked hard to overcome that fault. And by the grace of God, he succeeded so well that he became one of the gentlest saints of the church. So let us pray to St. Francis de Sales today and throughout the whole year, that he may give us the great meekness that he had, and also the same confidence that he had in the mercy of God, so that we may repent of our sins and lead a pious life in the future. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.